Scripture reading this evening comes from the book of Hosea. We're reading the fourth chapter of Hosea. And our text is found in Hosea 4, verse 6. So this morning, we talked about how the Lord is faithful to his word. And here in Hosea 4, verse 6, you read how the Lord's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, a lack of studying and believing God's word. And here we have this call for us to be hearers and studiers of the word of the Lord. So hear the word of the Lord as we find it in Hosea 4. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore, the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Even the fish of the sea will be taken away. Now let no man contend or rebuke another, for your people are like those who contend with a priest. Therefore you shall stumble in the day. The prophet also shall stumble with you in the night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. The more they increased, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people. They set their heart on their iniquity, and it shall be like people, like priest. So I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their deeds. For they shall eat, but not have enough. They shall commit harlotry, but not increase, because they have ceased obeying the Lord. Harlotry, wine, and new wine enslave the heart. My people ask counsel from their wooden idols, and their staff informs them. For the spirit of harlotry has caused them to stray. They have played the harlot against their God. They offer sacrifices on the mountaintops and burn incense on the hills, under oaks, poplars, and terebinths, because their shade is good. Therefore, your daughters commit harlotry. Your brides commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit harlotry, nor your brides when they commit adultery. For the men themselves go apart with harlots and offer sacrifices with a ritual harlot. Therefore, people who do not understand will be trampled. Though you, Israel, play the harlot, let not Judah offend. Do not go up to Gilgal, nor go up to Beth-Aven, nor swear an oath, saying, "As the Lord lives." For Israel is stubborn, like a stubborn calf. Now the Lord will let them forage like a lamb in open country. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Their drink is rebellion. They commit harlotry continually. Her rulers dearly love dishonor. The wind has wrapped her up in its wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. I'll just reread the text as we find it in Hosea 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because they have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. In our text this evening, we see that Israel had a knowledge problem, but it was a spiritually deadly knowledge problem. After all the Lord had done for Israel, after redeeming her out of the land of Egypt, and after saving her from her enemies time and time again, Israel had forgotten the Lord. They had forgotten the law of their God. They had forgotten the salvation of their God, and so they were destroyed. They were destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. But it was a specific lack, a specific lack of a kind of knowledge. It was a lack of knowledge about God, about their covenant God. And we live in a knowledge-saturated culture today. Technology has allowed for the wide dispersion of information. Everything you could possibly want to know is just a Google search away. You turn on the television, you turn on the radio, you go on the internet, and you're just fed with information continually. And as information pours into our lives via these electronic devices, we have to learn as Christians what is important to remember and what is important not to remember. And the sad reality seems to be that for all the immense information that we have forgotten so much of what is important. We are so distracted by all the vain and useless information coming into our lives that we forget the things that truly matter. And we as a nation, as the nation of the United States, have forgotten and even rejected the Lord. And as we live in such a nation, in a nation that has forgotten the Lord, we as individuals in that nation can be tempted and encouraged to forget God as well. We must be sure that we are not destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hosea 4, verse 6 was a warning from the Lord to Israel. It was a declaration of judgment upon Israel for its sin. But it's also a warning for us today. In our knowledge and information saturated culture, we must be sure that we are getting to know the right things, that we are getting to know the Lord more and more and are being diligent in our study of our Savior. We must be sure that we are not forgetting Him, not forgetting His law, not forgetting His wondrous salvation. And so this text from Hosea 4, verse 6 calls you to be sure that you know the Lord. Calls you to be sure that you are not destroyed for lack of knowledge. The Lord begins by saying in Hosea 4, verse 6 that my people are destroyed. And this destruction was not necessarily an immediate destruction of a nation coming in and wiping out Israel, subjugating it and leading it away captive. While that certainly would happen in Israel's history, specifically when the Assyrians came and devastated the land of Israel, that's not necessarily what the Lord is speaking of here in Hosea 4. Here, the Lord is talking of a more gradual and deadly type of destruction. In Hosea 4, verse 1, we read these words, that there is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore, the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away. So we see here in those verses that one of the ways that Israel would be destroyed would be through moral devolution, moral decay. Society would start to cave in on itself as people turned away from God and turned towards their sin and their pursuit of their sin. As people abandoned the law of God to work out their corrupt and evil desires, they would be swallowed by the deadly consequences of sin, of the downward spiral of sin. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. As Israel forgot God's law, as they forgot their Lord, their covenant, they would grow in their sinfulness. Bloodshed upon bloodshed. They would be destroyed as they worked out the end of their sins and depravity. And that really is the deceitfulness of sin. See, sin promises happiness. It promises pleasure, but it can only ever bring ultimate destruction. Sin may be able to bring a degree of happiness as a lust is fulfilled, but afterwards comes the pain and the remorse of the wages of sin, because sin can only ever bring death. It promises happiness, but it can only ever bring death. And we see a testament to that over and over in Scripture, even from the very beginning. The punishment for eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was death. And as we read those subsequent past chapters after Genesis 3, we see the world growing in wickedness. Cain kills Abel. Lamech kills several men. He takes several women as his wives. Violence increases on the earth. Genesis 5 is an account of how all these men lived long lives, but in the end, they all died. And then Genesis 6 speaks of the flood, where man's depravity grew so great that the only solution was God wiping the earth, washing the earth from its filth with a flood. And so we see that turning from the Lord toward sin produces destruction. Sin causes people, as Hosea 4 verse 3 puts it, to waste away. But sin also causes misery. And that's another aspect of the destruction spoken of in Hosea 4 verse 6. Hosea 4 verse 3 says that sin caused the land to mourn. Sin brings misery. And this too is a recurring theme of the Old Testament. In Psalm 16 verse 4, we read these words, "Their sorrows shall be multiplied who hasten after another god." Hastening after idols, hastening after sin produces sorrow. And the idea really seems to be that as we quickly hasten after a sin, because of the supposed pleasure that it brings, instead of bringing that pleasure, the only thing that it brings is that sorrow is just heaped up on us. Sin and hastening after idols produces sorrow. It's multiplied upon those who willfully and continually seek after sin. But it's also important to realize that the destruction of moral decay, pain, and misery would specifically come upon the people of Israel. And that is one of the devastating things about this passage in Hosea 4. God says in Hosea 4 verse 6, "My people are destroyed." Israel was God's church. Israel was His chosen people, His precious people. They, out of all the people in the earth, had the special revelation from God. They had the law of God given to them. They had direct revelation from the Lord, the creator of the whole earth, about what they were to do and what they were not supposed to do. They had the very word of God in their possession. And yet, they were the ones destroyed because they had forgotten that law. They were destroyed for lack of knowledge. Rather than obey that law, they disregarded it for their own sins and lusts. But it's also important to recognize that the people of Israel were the specially covenanted people of God. And this destruction came upon them because of their special covenant connection. In Deuteronomy 28, we read that if Israel would turn away from the Lord, that in response to that, He would turn away from them. We read in Deuteronomy 28, verse 45, these words, "Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep His commandments and His statutes which He commanded you." The Lord promised Israel in that passage that if they forgot Him, if they lost knowledge of Him, curses would come upon them. In essence, the Lord said there that if they forgot him, they would be destroyed for lack of knowledge. And so the destruction spoken of in Hosea 4, verse 6, should have been expected by the people of Israel if they knew the law of God. They should have known, because they had that promise in Deuteronomy 28, they should have known that the wages of their sin would produce ultimate death. They should have known the pain, the misery, the sorrow, and the destruction that comes to sinners. They should have known that they would be destroyed for lack of knowledge. But this warning in Hosea 4 is also a sharp and sobering warning for us today, because we live in a nation that has forgotten the law of God. We live in a nation that rejoices in moral depravity, whether it be sexual perversion or idolatry or covetousness or murder or hatred. But we also live in that weird situation where the nation says it's Christian. It says it's a Christian nation. It claims allegiance, whatever allegiance means, to God. In many ways, we are in the exact same situation as Israel was in Hosea 4. Israel claimed in Hosea's day that they knew God. They claimed they were the people of God. In Hosea 8 verse 2, we read these striking words. Hosea 8 verse 2 says, "Israel will cry to me, 'My God, we know you.'" The nation of Israel even claimed they were worshiping God with the golden calves at Dan and Bethel. They had priests performing the rites and rituals of that worship. They said they were worshiping the Lord. But it was also a syncretistic religion. They were worshiping the Baals and the Asherah right alongside the worship of Jehovah. Israel claimed to be the true people of God, and yet they were idolaters through and through. Israel was apostate. For all of their claims of knowing God, they did not truly know him. Their claim to know God was all a facade. It was merely part of the history and the tradition of the people of Israel. It was not a personal, saving, experiential knowledge of God. It was not a knowledge that was accompanied by truth and mercy. And therefore, the Lord says, there is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. And as we live in the so-called Christian nation of the United States of America, we need to be on guard. This nation is not Christian. It has rejected true Christianity for a rationally acceptable, a palatable religion that bears the name of Christianity. It is a nation that claims knowledge of God, but it is a nation that has rejected, has fundamentally rejected him. It's a nation that has just accepted everything that sounds nice about Christianity, the good moral, nice truths about Christianity. It has refused and rejected the law of God with its strict morality. It has rejected the humbling declaration that we are sinners in need of a Savior. It has rejected the shamefulness of the cross. And instead, may Jesus Christ to be merely someone that we can add to our already abundant and prosperous lives, just so that we can have this aura, this idea that we are somehow a slightly religious people. It's Jesus Christ is just someone that we can claim allegiance to, so we can add one more good work onto our way to heaven. And just like Israel was in Hosea 4, so the United States is being destroyed for lack of knowledge. The preachers, the Christians, they are not proclaiming the true gospel. They are proclaiming false doctrines that are leading people astray. You're proclaiming messages of prosperity, gospel prosperity, and giving the people what they want rather than what they need. We are living in a nation that is being destroyed for lack of knowledge. And it should be noted that knowledge of the Lord is not some mere head knowledge about God. It's not mere doctrine. It's not cold intellectual doctrine. It's not merely that. Nor is it just being able to dot the I and cross the T on the acronym TULIP. The knowledge of God isn't just mental assent, because in the Old Testament, knowledge is always connected with life. The well-known words of Proverbs 1 verse 7 say this. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." The fear of the Lord, as we see in that passage, is something that you do. It's not merely up here. It's something that you act out in your daily life. And the fear of the Lord, it is that which is the beginning of knowledge. And we see the same sentiment expressed in the first verse of Hosea 4. There we read, "There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land." Knowledge of God is paired with truth and mercy. And truth and mercy are things that we do. We act in a truthful manner, or we act in a merciful manner. And so we see in Hosea 4 verse 1 that truth and mercy and knowledge are all paired together. Because knowledge is connected fundamentally to action. It is connected to life. Because knowledge without life, without practicality, is useless. And therefore, the true knowledge of the Lord is belief carried into action. It is believing certain things and acting upon those beliefs. True knowledge of God is an acknowledgement that God is holy and that we are sinners. It's an acknowledgement that He has saved us and delivered us from our sins, and that we, in response to that forgiveness, try to live our lives in holiness and honor and praise to Him. And we see such a definition of knowledge given in the book of Hosea. In Hosea 6, verse 1 through 3, we read an explicit call to repentance. It is a call to return to the Lord, a call to seek His healing of the wounds of our sins, and a call to diligently pursue the knowledge of God. There we read in Hosea 6, "Come and let us return to the Lord, for He has torn, but He will heal us. He has stricken, but He will bind us up. After 2 days, He will revive us. On the third day, He will raise us up that we may live in His sight. Let us know. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth." We see there in this call to repentance, it's a call for knowledge. It's a call to know and to pursue. To pursue the knowledge of the Lord. But Israel did not pursue that knowledge. And so Israel was destroyed. The Assyrians did come and take away Israel into captivity. Israel was destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Israel may have known some things about God, but she refused to act upon that knowledge. The nation of Israel actively refused to put the law of God into practice. They failed to follow the law of their God. They failed to repent of their sins. They failed to put their trust in the Lord as their Savior. And so they destroyed themselves through their iniquity and transgressions. They destroyed themselves in their refusal to come to the Lord who promised them salvation. There was no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. And the destruction that came upon Israel was not some passive thing that just happened. The Lord is very clear about that in our text. He says, "You have rejected knowledge. This was an active, purposeful rejection. It was rebellion. This was not some innocent act of forgetfulness. It was blatant rejection. And it was specifically a blatant rejection of God on the part of the priesthood. Because the priests rejected God, he in turn rejected them. We read, "Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." The Lord God promised here to reject the priests because they failed to teach the people the law of God. This is a very specific judgment upon the Levitical priesthood. The priests had been charged with teaching the people the word of God, the knowledge of God. They were the ones who were supposed to go throughout the land of Israel, teaching the people who God was, what he required of them, and how they could be saved. They were also in charge of ensuring that the people knew how to properly, reverently worship the Lord. Yet, in the land of Israel, these priests encouraged the profaning of the second commandment. They encouraged Israel to worship the golden calves at Dan and Bethel. These priests failed in their job to declare the word of God, to declare the knowledge of God to the people. And part of the reason God's people were destroyed was because the Levites failed to teach them the true knowledge of God. This is a very sobering warning to those who are called to teach God's people, those who are called to pastor and minister and to be elders. But it's also a warning to every single believer, because in the New Testament age, every single believer is a prophet and a priest and a king. Every single one of us has the duty to know the Scriptures, to know the knowledge of God. And so the question comes to you today. Are you actively rejecting the knowledge of God? And sadly, our information-glutted age makes it this very easy to happen and for us to not think much about it. But we can actively reject the knowledge of God when we choose to watch a television show rather than spend time reading the Word of God. We can actively reject the knowledge of God when we'd rather spend time on social media than with the Lord in His Word or in prayer. We actively reject the knowledge of God when we purpose to walk in sin rather than in righteousness. When we choose the pleasures of Egypt over the reproach of Christ. That is when we reject the knowledge of God. And we do not necessarily do it with a hate-filled heart towards God. We don't necessarily shake our fist at God and reject knowledge. We do it sometimes because we're tired. We're exhausted after coming home from a day of work. We do it because sometimes we think there's a better way we could be spending our time than in the Word of God. Or we tell ourselves that we'll just make up the time tomorrow by reading an extra chapter of Scripture. But that is dangerous thinking. It's dangerous because as we go down that route, we get more and more comfortable. And little by little, our devotional life slackens till soon we are hardly in the Word of God. And as our devotional life weakens with the Lord, our religious affections toward Jesus Christ begin to wane, and we find the world suddenly a lot more attractive. And little by little, we depart from the true knowledge of God, and our lives begin to look like Israel's life as we read it in Hosea 4 verse 2, swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery. As we grow distance from the Lord, our secret sins, our besetting sins start rearing their ugly head. We take more and more pleasure in doing them. And so we must be on guard. Israel probably didn't expect them to be expect itself to be destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. But it happened step by step, little by little. So we must be on guard, being sure that we are not actively or even passively rejecting the knowledge of God. We are called to pursue the Lord with single-minded devotion. Pursue the knowledge of the Lord as Israel was urged to in Hosea 6. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. And we do that by being diligent in our Bible studies, in our prayer life. And if you struggle with that, perhaps it's helpful to follow a Bible reading calendar, to take up a commentary and work through that commentary on a specific book of the Bible. Or perhaps it's helpful to have a devotional journal where you're writing down verses of Scripture and writing down your thoughts on that day by day. We must be sure that we are constantly immersing ourselves in God's Word so that we are not destroyed for lack of knowledge. And so, in conclusion, Hosea 4 verse 6 is a reminder to us that there are serious consequences for those who actively, continually, and unrepentantly reject the knowledge of God. Those who reject the knowledge of God are destroyed. They are destroyed eternally as they reap the eternal consequences of their sins. Hosea 4 verse 6 is a reminder to us to actively seek the knowledge of God, seek the knowledge of the Lord through His Word. Those who reject God, the knowledge of Him, are in turn rejected by Him. Unbelievers are rejected by God. Those who continue in their sins and depravity are forgotten by the Lord. But the beautiful promise is that for those who turn to God, those who turn to the one who heals, those who diligently seek and pursue the knowledge of the Lord, to them is a promise of salvation. Because some 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ was rejected by His Father. He was forgotten by God so that God's great love could be shown to a people that were His enemies, to a people who were destroyed for lack of knowledge, to a people who lacked knowledge. Christ was rejected by God so that His love could be shown to a people who were slow to understand and to a people who were quick to forget, to a people who daily commit sins and daily forget the beauty of the gospel and the love of God. Christ was rejected for those who, so He could promise salvation and provide that salvation to those who are not as diligent in their Bible reading, their devotions as they should be. For those who turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, for those who pursue the knowledge of this God, He promises that He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will call you His people, His precious people, and He will pour His mercy upon you, His people. You will know the true knowledge of God, and you'll be able to rejoice in the beauty and the wonder and the splendor of that knowledge. And nothing will ever separate you from the beautiful knowledge of the gospel of grace. So do not be destroyed for lack of knowledge, but pursue the wondrous knowledge of our gracious God.